And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the podcast this week, we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter number 17. Just as a reminder, for communicating with me, you can use email. And that email address is broadcast@lamarowen.net. That's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And so keep that in mind. That's a quick and easy way of getting in touch with me, and we'll see how that works out. All right, we're going to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter number 17, and we're going to start down at verse number 14. 2 Samuel 17, 14, the Bible says, "And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." All right, so this is where we ended up last week, and I really didn't feel like I finished talking through what this point is. Ahithophel's counsel was correct for a number of reasons. And those reasons had a little bit to do with Ahithophel's desire for revenge. And Ahithophel had the desire for revenge, apparently. But it was quite clear to everyone involved that Absalom was not a man of war. Again, he weighed his hair that was cut off his head. I know I go back to that. I keep going back to that. And the reason I keep going back to that is because it's an important point. The man weighed his hair when he had it cut. And he had it cut once a year. And he was vain. He was a, well, pretty boy. Okay? Let's just leave it at that. And this man, Absalom, he was sheltered by David. David had his men of war, and the family of David didn't have to do much in terms of war. They were pretty well sheltered from it. We don't read anywhere in the Word of God where any of David's sons actually led the army out to battle. One would have thought that David wanted his sons to know how to lead battle, but he didn't. Or at least it's not recorded. What's recorded is Joab led the battles. David had his nephew do the work. And then there's going to be other generals come up. And the king is not going to be the one to lead all these battles. So, you know, that's an interesting part of the thinking here, is the fact that Absalom probably had no experience going into battle. Ahithophel, on the other hand, he had lots of experience. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to do it right. And he could go and get it done. And that was the correct course of action, because David and his men were indeed mighty men of war. And Hushai gives that statement. He says, you know your father's a mighty man of war. But at the same time, he appeals to Absalom's vanity by saying, you need to go do the leading. You need to be the one to lead. And that appeals to Absalom's vanity. He thinks it'll be easy, but it's not nearly as easy as what he thinks. And Hushai buys David a little bit of time by saying, you need to gather all Israel together, because you know how your father and how his men can fight. You know how that works. Now, Ahithophel said, give me 12,000 men. He knew that was plenty enough to do the job if they were good men. And let's do this now. There would have been 12,000 there. We find in the book of 1 Chronicles that David had courses of men for each month, and there's 12,000 for each month. So there was a 12,000-man garrison on hand in Jerusalem at the time. Ahithophel knew this. Ahithophel knew that those would be available, and they probably had not left with David. Now, I'm sure some of them had. David had taken his personal guard, the Pelethites and Kerethites. Ittai, the Gittite, had his crowd with him, but David did not have that many men. He went out, and most of the men in the garrison were left. Ahithophel knew this. He said, 12,000 men. He says, whoever's in the garrison, we'll go do this. I believe that's what he had in mind. Let's go right now. He said, I'll go. I'll take care of it. And I'll bring David back dead. And then everybody will come back. That's all that has to happen. We're going to go in. We're going to strike. We're going to assassinate the king and be out of there. That was Ahithophel's plan. God says it was good counsel. So there's no reason to analyze it to see if it would have worked or not. There's no reason to say, well, maybe it wouldn't have worked, blah, blah, blah. No, no. God said it was good counsel. And so he sent Hushai the Archite to give counsel, and Absalom listened to him because God had ordained evil against Absalom. Absalom was going against God's anointed, and God was not going to have any of it. Mm-hmm. That's the case. Because David was God's anointed. Regardless of what David had done. Now here's the thing. Where does this apply in terms of the Christian life? You know, there's application here. And the application is pretty straightforward. Child of God, if you see somebody getting chastised for doing something, you pray for them. You pray for them. Don't pile up on them. Don't pile up on them. It's none of your business how God chastises his people. Or for you or anybody else. It's no one else's business but the Lord when it comes to chastisement. And God does not need your help to chastise somebody. If God wants you to be part of the instrument of it, it'll happen in God's own flow of things. But God does not need your help to chastise any one of his people. And, you know, the Bible in the book of Romans says, don't judge. Judge yourself. Make sure you're living right. Make sure you're where you need to be. Jesus said, don't try to get the mote out of your brother's eye when there's a beam in your own, but get your beam out of your eye first, and then you can see clearly to help your brother with his mote. But most people won't get the beam out of their own eye. That is a great statement by our Lord and Savior when he says that. Take care of your own back porch before you worry about somebody else's. Take care of your own life first. Once you're perfect, then you can help other people. And you can tell them about their imperfections. Once you're perfect. Mm-hmm. But you got to be perfect first. Or as Jesus said to the woman that was taken in adultery, he told the people, he didn't say this to the woman, he said it to the people around the woman. He said, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. Let him cast the first stone. And their own convictions got them, and no one cast a stone. Again, and I've said this several times during the course of this particular passage. We have no way of telling outside of the person themselves. We have no way of telling whether a series of events is a trial or chastisement. We have no way of knowing. Now, I have a way of knowing myself because God will make chastisement fit the crime. He will make the chastisement fit the crime, to fit the sin, to fit the trespass against the Lord. It'll fit. But sometimes trials do too. Sometimes trials come across and they almost look like chastisement. And it can be difficult to discern. It can be difficult to discern whether what you're going through is a trial or chastisement. Because they can look, well, they're indistinguishable from each other in many cases. And even if you think somebody's going through chastisement, it's none of your business. That's between them and God. It has nothing to do with you. Hmm? You say, well, they need to be told. God tells them. You can tell them about the sin. And preachers, you better be telling people about sin. You better be telling them about the evil that's in this world that would take them and the consequences of going the way of the evil world. But it's not up to me to deal out the consequences. It's up to the Lord. That's what judging is. You know, that's what judging actually ends up being. It's condemning someone when you don't know the full circumstances. God will judge. People need to judge themselves first. Judge yourself first, lest ye be judged. Don't judge others, lest ye be judged. That is, you start judging someone else, and then somebody else might pipe up and says, but wait a minute, here, this is in your life. Hmm? You want to open yourself to other people judging you? Then publicly judge someone else. Yeah. Yeah, I've had some experience with that. I have. And the Lord's taught me a few things about that. And I am a firm believer in judging myself first. Proclaim sin as sin, and proclaim the dangers of the consequences of sin. Absolutely. But at that point, each individual person has got to apply it to their own heart. I cannot do it for them. You know, somebody comes into the altar and they're ready to get saved. I can't say the prayer for them. I can't tell them, here's exactly what you say, because it's not about what you say. It's about what he does in your heart and about how you let him do that in your heart. And, but it's not about the words you say. It's not about the exact words. Now, a person who's born again will not be ashamed of that fact, and they will publicly acknowledge Jesus, the Son of God, risen from the dead. That's Scripture. Beyond that, the exact words, the exact experience is different for everybody. Each saved person has a different experience. And the same thing's true with chastisement. What is Absalom being told here, basically, by the Lord? It's not up to you to chastise. That's me. I don't need your help, Absalom. And God made Hushai's counsel be taken so that Absalom would be overthrown. Now, there's going to be some consequences to this. So let's look at those. The consequences for this. Verse number 15. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Now, I don't know if Hushai just didn't know that Absalom was going to take his counsel. Maybe Hushai gave counsel and then he left. And then Absalom and the elders say, Hushai's counsel is better than Ahithophel. And God ordained that so that Absalom would be overthrown, because Ahithophel's counsel was good counsel. It was good counsel. And Hushai's, for this particular circumstance, was good on the surface, but it had some fatal flaws. Number one, Absalom would lead them himself. Number two, they were going to wait to gather all Israel, so they would have an overwhelming force. And that appealed to Absalom's vanity, to go in leading an overwhelming force. But it was not good military counsel for this. Mm-mm. No. So Hushai is now telling Abiathar and Zadok what's happened, what counsel's been given, and says, send word to David. So here's how they do that. Verse number 17. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by in Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Okay. Now, this word's used here, wench. That just means a servant girl, okay? That's what that means. It's not derogatory in this context. So Jonathan and Ahimaaz, they didn't want to be seen going out. So there was a servant girl went and told them, and they went and told King David. But verse number 18, nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. Yeah. So the wife of the man of the house in Bahurim hid Ahimaaz and Jonathan. Verse 20, and when Absalom's servants came to the woman, to the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. All right. Let's stop there for just a moment. So Ahimaaz and Jonathan's running out to tell David. And a boy sees them, and he knows who they are. He goes in and tells Absalom, says, Ahimaaz and Jonathan started running, and they're running toward where David went. Well, Absalom's going to want to catch them to keep David from hearing anything. But how does he know that Ahimaaz and Jonathan are going to tell David what the plans were? He doesn't. But he doesn't want anything spoiling what he needs to do. And he wants to find out what's Jonathan and Ahimaaz doing. What are you doing is what he's after. I don't think he knows what they know. I don't think he knows. But it's good practice to not let spies escape. To not let anyone escape. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. Now notice that. Notice that. They don't even say what Hushai had counseled. They say what Ahithophel counseled. The assumption was, oh, they're going to take Ahithophel's advice. It's the best, it is the right thing to do, and there's no way that Absalom wouldn't take this advice. Mm-hmm. They don't even mention Hushai, or at least it's not mentioned in the scriptures. Maybe they mentioned it, but what Ahithophel had said was like inquiring at the oracles of God. That's what we saw at the end of the 16th chapter. Well, David doesn't waste any time. Verse 22, then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. Okay, they got it in gear, and they went. And so Ahithophel's counsel would have been defeated anyway, simply by David knowing what it was. And so they were going to get out of the plains. They were going to go, and vital time was lost. If Ahithophel had had that 12,000 men right then, he might have caught them. He might have caught them in the process of crossing Jordan, and he might very well have got away with it. Verse 23. Now, this starts an interesting study here in verse 23. We're going to talk about it here in a minute. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Ahithophel knew. He knew that there was no recovering from that. When he saw his advice wasn't taken, he knew Absalom was going to lose. He knew David was not going to lose. And as we've said a couple of times at this point, Ahithophel didn't care if Absalom won. All he cared about was David losing. And his strategy was to make David lose. And so, when he saw his advice wasn't followed, he went home. He set his house in order. That means he divided inheritance. He took care of all his debts. He took care of everything, set his household in order, and went and hung himself. Suicide. Now, there are several suicides documented in the Word of God. And it's a difficult subject to talk about. It's a difficult thing to talk about. Do I understand why Ahithophel did this? Yeah, I do. In ways. I don't agree with what he did, but I understand why he thought he had to do this. His goal was to avenge his granddaughter, assuming Bathsheba was his granddaughter, which again is highly likely, but we don't know that 100%. 90%. I'm 90% sure that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. But the Bible does not come out and say it that way, because the two Eliams are mentioned in two separate areas, and they may not have been the same man. We don't know that 100%. Highly likely, but not 100%. I won't be dogmatic about it. It sure does give reason for his quickness to turn from advising David and advising Absalom. Sure does. And Absalom sent after him, you know. Absalom knew that Ahithophel would be a great ally. Mm-hmm. Or at least he thought he would, because of what David had done to Bathsheba and to Uriah and to their family. Mm-hmm. Ahithophel was out for blood. He was out for revenge. And he saw that that wasn't going to happen. And it completely destroyed him. When he saw that David was not going to lose his life. Now, David lost a great deal, but David was not going to lose his life. When he saw that, he said, there's no reason for me to even live now. Put his house in order and committed suicide by hanging. Now, there are several suicides mentioned in the Word of God. There are several, and we're going to look at a few of them, and we may look at all of them here over the next little while in the broadcast and podcast. Suicide is rampant in this world, especially amongst teenagers who are so full of despair. They're so full of despair. They're so desperate that they feel like there's no use, that the world is just absolutely not worth living in anymore. And teen suicide especially is rampant. And it's a sad thing. Suicide has touched many, many folk. And the Bible has a great deal to say about it. It does. There are several suicides mentioned in the Word of God, and we're going to look at them. I believe that's something the Lord would have us do over the next little bit. We're going to look at a few of those, and then we'll get back on the story of David and what David's doing here. I don't plan on it being a very long study, but I do plan on looking at it, because this is the time. Guarding against suicide, helping people to try to prevent suicide, is very important, and it's something that's heavy on my heart. It's heavy on my heart. I know several people who committed suicide, and I know of others that committed suicide. I believe it's the Lord's will for us to go that direction, all right? And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by emailing broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that email address, broadcast@lamarowen.net. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week on the I Want to Know More podcast.